News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
7 minutes after 8 o'clock, FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings. We're going to do it again, by the way. Midday Mobile will be your host. Sean Sullivan sits this one out.
Mm-hmm. I like to think of us as guides.
Guides?
We'll guide you through your lunch and into your afternoon.
Okay. I'm going to guide you through the 9 o'clock hour, too. Going to turn up your voice at 343-0106. Also checking the text line to see what's going on there. A lot of people talking about Simone Biles, and what she did yesterday was basically she didn't feel comfortable, and she decided she could hurt her team, so she got out of the competition.
Yeah, right? So, the U.S. going into these Olympic Games were the heavy favorites in a number of different events. Basketball being probably the heaviest favorite for the U.S., but also in gymnastics, where our team has been dominant over the last decade or so. And Simone Biles, the most dominant member of that dominant team. And I watched last night the replay, the rebroadcast from earlier in the day, and, she was out there with the team, but she did not look to be 100% emotionally. And then that showed itself during the event, headed off to the locker room, and it wasn't because of a physical injury.
I just can't remember seeing this before, a high-profile athlete like this in a sport like this saying, I can't do it. So sometimes to get an expert, I don't really have to go outside the family. My brother, Dr. Jim Brennan, is a human behavioral professor at Lehigh University in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. He was also on the bench. What was your role at Villanova basketball, Jim?
Good morning, guys. I was the sports performance consultant at Villanova and did more of what you would call sports psychology, although I'm not a clinical psychologist. So we didn't call my role sports psychology per se.
But you were in the middle of players' heads getting ready to perform in some of the biggest, highest profile games in America.
Right, that was my role is to take care of that, the mental, emotional needs of players who are trying to operate and be at their best under pressure.
Jim, so good to talk to you. I'll wait for another time to ask you for embarrassing stories of Dan's childhood, and we can keep this to Simone.
That could be a 3-hour segment.
So, it seems like people, like so many things nowadays, are taking one extreme side or the other after yesterday. Either she shouldn't have quit, that's a bad look for her, a bad look for America, and what would happen if Tom Brady or LeBron James did that? And then the other side, which said is saying, hey, her mental health is more important than anything in that instance. And that that she did the right thing by backing out. There's no one kind of there in the middle. But as you have worked with athletes over time, that's something that I feel she'll end up regretting. Do you kind of get the same sense that maybe looking back she'll say, "Man, I wish I didn't give up on that."
Probably, I agree with you, Dalton. That she'll probably have deep regrets, especially when you think about all the work she put into preparing for this, and then the idea of letting her teammates down. I think it would work its way out, like letting her family down, letting herself down, letting her teammates, and letting the national, the national fans, let them down. And she's been hammered pretty hard, I think, on social media, which is not really fair, because I think it's too much of an oversimplification of something that's very complicated.
What happened? Dr. Jim Brennan, my brother and a behavioral scientist, is on the line with us. In that moment, Jim, where was she? It wasn't a physical injury. She's always been a competitor. She competes at the highest level. What happened in her to her emotions and in her brain at that moment?
Well, when I watched her performing in the early round, it seemed like she. I was thinking maybe she had a physical injury because she's just been so, like, she just delivers, right? And she's been so composed and competitive under pressure in the past, and so you wouldn't think it was something emotional with her, but her struggles were now we know were emotional, and being at your best when it matters most, when the pressure is the greatest, involves so many subtle balancing acts with your own fear, with your own doubts, and how do you convert that into determination and focus and relying back on your training? And so I wouldn't say that the athletes that perform best under pressure have no fear, right, or no doubts. The contemplation of failure is something that drives them. But the balancing act for Simone Biles, I think, was the balance was destroyed there. Mm-hmm. And I think that her fear of losing, her fear of failing, became so intense that she knew she could not, she could not deliver.
Here's a really interesting text we just got from Sly Dog, and I want to hear your opinion on this, Dr. Brennan. Simone's pressure was not just the competitive issues. It was more about the constant media pressure over the last few years she's been under. Every talk show, commercial, radio spot, cameras everywhere on her all the time. This is not about the competition. He says this is about our obsession with celebrities. And I kind of referenced that off the air, that with these gymnasts getting started so early in their training to be Olympians, it's almost like if Tom Brady were also a child movie star.
Yeah.
Like that's how amped up the pressure has been on her whole life.
That's an excellent analogy, Dalton, because gymnasts do start so young. It's not as if you get to a certain point in young adulthood and you say, I'm choosing. I've examined different life paths, right? And this is the one that I'm choosing, I'm going to commit to, and there's more of a psychological maturity that goes into your choice and can back it up. But a child who is gifted, they discover that she's gifted early in gymnastics, and then you're on this path that you've never really chosen, but then you find yourself at still a very young age. You find yourself as the focal point and of the aspirations of so many commercial interests and patriotic interests and sports world interests. It's got to be a little bit overwhelming. And then when you think I never really got ahead of this in terms of my own maturity and my psychological defenses to handle this level of pressure.
So one last thing, Jim, before we let you go, you were on, like I say, Villanova, two of the teams won national championships, but they were able to do it as a team. Now, Simone Biles, aside from all the pressure she's got with being a celebrity, for sure, some of the pressure she puts on herself by signing the sponsorship deals, but just being the being an individual sport, it's all on you. And not only is it all on you, it is everything's on you because you're the best at it. Is there something to that might have contributed to the overwhelming nature of her emotions at that moment?
Yeah, it's another great point, because the idea that each human being is unique, right? But we're not. Independent. We're also interpersonal beings, and so there are just countless numbers of examples in our own lives when we want to be strong as an individual, but then we realize that we are at our strongest as an individual when we're strong together, right? When we're strong with each other, with the chosen group of people, and the best teams are those that know how to all of the things that we do are designed to make ourselves stronger and our teammates stronger. And if it's a team sport where you're in opposition against another team, then it's like we're making each other stronger and we're making our opponents weaker by the way that we create our synergy. And so gymnastics is more, we form a team, right? But I think it's much more of an individual. We're scored individually, so that's you're kind of out there on your own, even though you're a member of a team. So I think that if she had been on a team, some of these fears, some of the pressure could have been shared and minimized.
Great conversation, Jim. I appreciate it a lot, you coming on and it just occurred to me that you were the go-to guy in this situation. The nation's talking about it. The Gulf Coast is talking about it. So certainly appreciate what you had to say.
Hey, I'm proud to be on with two award-winning guys. So congratulations to you guys on your recent award.
Thank you.
Thanks for dialing me up.
You got it, man. Dr. Jim Brennan, Lehigh University. We'll do it, Jim. Thank you. Okay. He's got the app. He knows what's going on there.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
Yeah. Good conversation.
Good stuff there, yeah. And coming up, turning up your voice, 343-0106. A lot to get to, not just Olympics-wise, but the CDC putting the mask back on. Get your thoughts coming up.
Morning from Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, age 22. On FM Talk 106.5. Big news! Mobile County's got that brand new messaging alert system. You can sign up, and it's easy to do that. Just text Mobile Alert. That's the city of Mobile. M-O-B-I-L-E, alert, A-L-E-R-T, one word, to 226-787. I got a brother who's a behavioral scientist. I can't spell alert. So, you know, I apologize that you're getting the bottom of the Brennan barrel on a daily basis. Anyway, it's going to be made available to all public entities that would like to communicate with the community quickly. You can also create your own personal profile. It can contain emergency alerts and health and medical information that's pertinent to you. And you're going to get all kinds of things, weather updates, road closures, extreme traffic backups, and first responder activity, even parade information during Mardi Gras. You're not going to get spam, nothing political or nothing commercial that's going to come across. Nope, all information that you need. It's the brand new Mobile County Messaging Alert System. Text Mobile Alert to, I'm not going to bother to spell it. You're on your own. 226-787. You can sign up today.
Good stuff there. If you would have just quit last segment, you wouldn't have had to embarrass yourself doing that.
I thought that was pretty. Look, it was an expert analysis by Dr. Jim Brennan,
yeah.
who works with a lot of different people in behavioral sciences, but often he is in the sports arena.
And we've gotten a lot of texts on this issue, and I don't think this is just a sports issue. I mean, the Olympics is a big international event, even though fewer people than ever are tuned in this year. But is this a bad look for America? You know, some texts we've been getting here, mental toughness is a part of athletics, always has been. Some have it, some don't. It's much like the elite military servicemen. It's not just being physically capable, but having the mental toughness as well. It's a total package. And that's well said. You look up any of the top-selling books in athletics, and a lot of times, I mean, there are plenty of books about the mental makeup of athletes and staying focused and being able to reach those goals. So I think that's a huge part. I've just never seen anyone quit on a stage at that time like that.
Well, here's the other thing. She's proven it time and time again. What was different
this time?
This time.
Yeah.
And that's where Dr. Jim said, I'm looking at this from a long way away, but it could have been just the fear of losing.
I think the perspective changed is what's different. Then she, you know, it was all riding on her. It would have been, everyone would have been looking at this like a loss, which we are by not winning gold there.
Right.
But, you know, at the same time, I think, and I'll get to more of these texts here, it just makes so much sense, and not in a good way, with how America is acting now. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all about victimization and thought crimes and this and that. And it's really, I mean, some will argue that it's good for the progression of humankind and the nation that we're focused on things like where people are mentally. And I do think that's important, and especially with our service members. I mean, you know, coming up off Independence Day, and we talk about it so often, the mental effects of going to war and coming back. And you certainly can't say the same things for athletes, but they are in a very intensive mental situation when you reach the top of the game like that. But all you see nowadays in America is how do you feel about that? Mm-hmm. What do you, how do you feel about the pressures on you and this and that? I mentioned it earlier. The South Koreans that are going to golf tonight, Sung Jae-im being one of them, what they have on the line is, in South Korea, they have a mandatory 2-year minimum military service, just like Israel.
Mm-hmm.
If one of these South Koreans wins their tournament, they can defer or completely avoid that military service that is asked of them. And do you think either of them are going to be quitting mid round because they're not mentally there? What about these Russians and these Chinese athletes? Now, it's, of course, awful that they're living where they are under that kind of rule, but they don't have a choice. They're not going to quit. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine if one of the Russian gymnasts had just said because of her mental health she was backing out, that country would be going after her big time. Well, when that happens here with the United States, of course, we're in a different, have a different type of leadership than they do in Russia and China. But instead of people saying, hey, what the hell? Why'd you quit? You have sports journalists just lining up to defend quitting in the middle of a gold medal competition. And the United States has never been like that until now. I think it shows where we are mentally as a nation more than anything.
You're talking about the reaction to it all, and not necessarily the act itself, because the act itself was obviously very personal, and I would think you talked about, and Jim agreed with you, probably regrettable.
Oh, yeah. I think more than anything, she'll regret it.
And embarrassing, you know? But there are times when we are rendered in that position. I haven't known many of those instances in my life, but I have known those instances in my life. Now, I wasn't on a beam in the Olympics.
Yeah.
But just, some of the things that have just gone down here in the last few months for me have been awful.
Right.
And has left me, you know, on the brink of wherever. So it's amazing that it happened within the framework of sports and the Olympics. And this, you made a great point, this little star who's been a star since she was so young, it happened to her. Not a nobody, but the biggest name in the sport.
Yeah, it's like if Macaulay Culkin was on the pommel horse, what he would feel like, because he was such a big star from such a young age.
Right.
These are great texts we're getting here. Phil says, I think a lot of athletes are out of it mentally, because no one really thought we were even going to have the games, because it was on the verge of being postponed about 9 different times, even right before it started. So throw that in with everything else. He thinks it's hard for these athletes to stay focused. This texter, after watching her last performance, it looked like she got completely lost in midair. She did. She pulled out of that move early. Then they said she may well have lost the team even the silver medal if she had continued. It's a shame that people even debate the issue. It's her choice. Either you support freedom or not. Two takes on that. First, she may well have lost the team even the silver medal. I, like so many people who have already picked a side in this, am completely ignorant of the rules regarding a team gymnastics final. It seems that that may have actually been the case. Like, even though there's four on each side, that you take one away, then one of the other three just takes up those extra, you know, parts of the event.
So bad performances on her part would have
hurt the team even worse.
Right.
And
she was quite sure her performance was going to be bad.
Right. That's exactly what she said yesterday. And then regarding it's a shame that people even debate the issue, maybe, but this is what we've been doing forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the Olympics. If Tom Brady quit in the middle of the Super Bowl, that would be all people would discuss for the next year.
Sure.
If LeBron James quit. I mean, LeBron James left the floor 3 minutes early when his team was down 30.
He was just
and
mad.
It's all that people were talking about for the next
week.
And
he was just being a bad sport.
Right.
But
exactly.
Two things as well. She, Simone Biles, America loves her. And also the fact that she is a young lady. Is that where a lot of people would be more apt to give her a bit of a pass on this? I know not everybody's giving her a pass, but those who are.
We're far away from Tonya Harding paying to have her competitor's ankles broken on
no knees. Kidding. No kidding. 830 FM Talk 106.5. Look for you to bring in to 343-0106. Feel free to give us a call. Dan and Dalton in Mobile Mornings.
835 FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan. I'm Dalton Horwig. And right now we head to McConnell Automotive, where we talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing good. And, well, it's going to be hot today, the rest of the week. First thing I have to ask, is the AC at McConnell in working order?
Oh, it's in great working order, actually. We got it worked on yesterday. I usually do this radio show from outside, but now I'm doing it inside because it feels so good inside. So we got it going on. We got it down to about 64 in the used car building. We're going to be selling cars today. So if you're out there hot, you want to look at a car, come on by, sit in the air conditioned. We'll bring it up there, show it to you and everything. So got the new car side going on. We got great deals on both sides. You know, it's the end of the month, best time to buy a car. We're getting a couple of truckloads of vehicles in from GM now. And unfortunately, a lot of them are sold, but some of them aren't. So if y'all looking for that AT4, or a Yukon XL, or a pickup truck, just give us a call, 251-476-4141. And then y'all check out all the used car stuff online at McConnellAutomotive.com.
All right, McConnell Automotive, the deals are hot and the AC's cold. Thank you, Louie.
You got it. Thank you.
That's Louie Raddatt. You'll find him at McConnell on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
You know, the other day, Attorney General for the state of Alabama, Steve Marshall, came out with some...
do's and don'ts regarding...
Yeah, just kind of clarification about COVID vaccines, et cetera, et cetera. He is going to be on with Jeff Poore today in the 10 o'clock hour, between 10:30 and 11 o'clock, so you want to check that out. And Sean Ross from SF Communications will be on beginning... I'm sorry, 10:30 to about 10:50, and then Sean Ross the next hour in the 11 o'clock hour. He's from SF Communications, and he is a weekly guest with Jeff Poore, and he'll be on with Jeff today.
And we'll be on following that, guest hosting for Midday Mobile as Sean takes the week off. Looking at some texts, and then maybe we'll get into some of the CDC stuff. A couple... haters on the Tennessee Vols, which I absolutely love. One says, y'all need to update the question on the webpage to how many touchdowns will Alabama put on the Tennessee Vols this year? And then regarding mental health, my favorite texter says, at least the Vols football team has the class to quit before the game even begins, not in the middle of the game. So a couple mix-ins there for some SEC trash talk. David says, if Simone Biles was struggling through something that she felt was going to be a detriment to her team, she absolutely has a responsibility to them to step aside and let somebody else try to help them win. Another one, Simone Biles is competing in a sport where if her mind is not there, she could literally break her neck. It's ridiculous. People in this spoiled-ass country thinks she owes us something. But we're also getting some from the other side, too. This person said if she was that mentally unstable, she should have opted out beforehand and let somebody else take her spot. But now the U.S. will not get a gold medal in that division. And then said, break out the cheese. You know why people say that? Because there's wine around, Dan. Mm-hmm. So saying that she's a whiner there. And then Leo, nobody cares about Olympic skating or dive boarding or whatever she does. Leo, I think this is a, well, it is a big story because everybody's talking about it. Maybe not everybody. A lot of people are talking about it. And that's because it's not just a sports question. This is a, no. I mean, the Olympics are on the international stage. I would like to read the headlines from Russia. What are they saying in Russia as their team won gold?
Take the competition. And Leo, thanks for keeping up with the Olympic dive boarding or whatever you just said. The hell is that? say you were driving down a road and you saw a young lady pulled off to the side of the road.
Okay.
And she was just in some sort of distress.
Right.
And you pull over and you say, can I help you at all? And she was just to say to you, I just had a real breakdown. I'm really feeling terrible. I can't even drive right now.
Mm-hmm.
Things are going on that I can't handle. You would have nothing but pity for her.
Right.
But when we put it in the middle of a competition, suddenly for a lot of people who are watching all this, there's no room for that in athletics. Wait a minute. If you're driving, you have a mental breakdown, you got off the road, thank you.
Yeah, you can pull over, unless you're on the bayway with the three lanes.
Yeah, right. And but in front of us as a competitor, she's being blamed by a lot of people. It's probably the same thing that the little girl on the side of the road was feeling. Mm-hmm. She just wasn't in the middle of a Olympic competition.
Yeah.
Seen by the world. So anyway, that just a thought on that. These things happen.
Mm-hmm.
These things happen. It's unfortunate that it happened at that time, but like Dr. Jim said, it probably happened because it was that time.
Well, yeah, and
the fear of losing overwhelmed everything.
I would feel pity, and I do feel pity for her, and I think she has to be embarrassed, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe she doesn't, but I think this also goes to the larger conversation, the equality conversation, and, you know, of course, you know, I'm an American. I believe in freedom. I believe inequality, but the same people who want to afford women the same respect that is given to men in all instances, in every single sport, every single thing that men can do, they'll say that women deserve the same shot at that.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to it, the reaction when men do something on a national stage or women do something on a national stage is not equal at all.
No, that's
there's
what
no
I'm saying.
Pity shown towards.
Is she getting a pass a little bit because she's a female? I think for many she is.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And is that wrong? I don't think it's so wrong that she's getting a pass because she's female. I just think it's wrong that, you know, on the other side, the same people who will say have pity on her because she was going through a mental health thing, and because she's a female and so much is expected of her in sport, are the same people saying, and these aren't exactly correlated, mm-hmm. but they're the same people saying that WNBA players should be paid just as much as NBA players, and that women should have the exact same shot in special forces as men do. And, you know, the big story last week was, I guess, a woman for the first time passed Navy SEALs high standards to become a SEAL. Mm-hmm. That was a big story. But the reaction, whether... It's not the same on both ends.
No, because it's a big deal because it's a woman.
I don't know if I'm making that clear enough.
No, you are, but recently, another thing Jimmy said that was really on point was you act as a team in a way, mentally strong, physically strong, and part of your intent and all that is not just to win the game, it's to make the other team weak.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of what you're doing at the line of scrimmage. Mentally, physically, you're trying to impose your will. Well, that's not pretty on the other side. And you see it in football. You saw it in Alabama when they were just a smash and mash team.
Mm-hmm.
They would just take the will out of people by the middle of the third quarter. Like, I don't even want to be here.
Right.
Now, they had to stay on the field, but you got that impression by watching the team. Like, they are way out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just ironic that, you know, where do you, in sports, you can't show weakness.
Right.
That is a no-no. And so, but if your weakness is real, it's intense, what do you do? And she was in that spot.
Yeah. Monty said maybe she had an anxiety attack. Ever had one of those?
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. I have, and it wasn't great. And I didn't have it on the Olympic international stage either. So if that's what it was, that's
you had
tough.
It on the air. I remember that day.
That would be great, actually. If next time I have one, let's turn the mic on.
You see, Sheila's, can I read this real quick? Sheila says, good morning, guys. I understand from one side, but I also understand Simone's side. I wasn't in the Olympics, of course, but I did participate in gymnastics growing up and in cheerleader for years. There's a great deal of mental toughness, and before you begin your skill, you have to be committed to compete. Fear is crazy, and it can step on your tracks at any time. And I think that's it, you know, Dr. Jim said his analysis from over here in America was, and him dealing with so many athletes for so long, the fear of losing overwhelmed everything else, all her training, all her normal emotions. It was just that she freaked out like she was going to lose and basically had a panic attack.
Baldwin 5 says, you know, she brought a lot of the pressure upon herself. Said calling herself the GOAT, you know, the mm-hmm. greatest all time. Wearing a GOAT outfit, greatest of all time. He says, I believe she got caught up in all the pregame hoopla and media, plus did not prepare properly. Did you see her Olympic trial competition? Awful. I feel she didn't want to go out and fail on an international stage. And I think really that's the root of it, is the pressure and the fear of failing, I think is why that happens.
Yeah, yeah. I've had it a couple times in my life. It is not pretty. 8:45, and then I come out here and obviously fail. Yeah. And don't even realize it.
Very publicly.
8:45, Dan and Dalton. Morning from Dan, Brennan, Dalton, Orwig, 8:49. Love to hear from y'all. 343-0106. Jeff Poor Show coming up a little after 9 o'clock.
Yeah, we're the opener, and we come on today after the Jeff Poor Show, but he certainly has us beat, as of now, in the guest department. Jeff, who do you have coming up on today's show?
I come up about a half hour, political consultant Dave Mallory. We'll talk a little bit about the Senate race and some of the down ballot races. I think with less drama at the top of the ballot, some of these down ballot races become a little more interesting. You have a little more liberty to try to do something. It's not just one narrative. Also, coming up in the 10 o'clock hour, Attorney General Steve Marshall. We'll talk about his guidance issued out earlier this week dealing with these vaccine passports. We heard from Arthur Orr yesterday You know, he was mocked, you know, like this was the furthest thing that we need to be worried about right now, that it was just a boogeyman created for political reasons. You go back and read Kyle Whitmire's column, who, by the way, is fighting a war on dumb.
I've heard that.
And you just see the this oozing of just mockery and yeah, I don't know. Anyway, but it looks to me, I think there's a lot of confusion out there about the law, number one. But number two, there's some people say, well, maybe this isn't such a bad idea after all. Maybe we need to start requiring vaccinations, mandate vaccinations. But here's the important component of that, guys. You can't mandate a vaccine and then what are you going to use to prove it? Well, the proof is that passport, which is illegal in Alabama, so that mm-hmm. effectively ends any kind of effort to mandate the vaccine. It takes that power away from the state. Also, in the program, U.S. Senate hopeful Jessica Taylor, she's still running, so we'll have her. That's at the 11 o'clock hour, so y'all want to stick around for that.
Regarding the first, I want to get your overall sense of where things are headed. And what I see happening with the CDC direction yesterday and with Biden expected tomorrow to make it required that federal agents or federal employees get vaccinated or get tested all the time, inconveniently. What's your overall sense of where we're headed? I think it's kind of similar to last year where you saw the government, the federal government, issue a directive, and then big corporations get involved, and you see your Costco's and Sam's Clubs start to require masks. Do you think we're headed down that similar road?
I think that would be a fair trend. My thinking here is, though, guys, that they're going to try this. I think it's tied up in the courts. I think there are a lot of legal questions here about it. And what do we know when something gets tied up in the courts? It could take years to resolve. Well, who knows? By the time the Supreme Court would ultimately rule on any of this, we may be on to other things beyond COVID-19.
Jeff, you're going to have Steve Marshall on, the Attorney General for the state of Alabama. So what are the things you're curious about that only he can answer in terms of what's going on with COVID and the law? What questions do you want answered?
Well, it appears to me there's a lot of confusion out there. People may not be aware of the law. So I'll just anecdotally here. When I went and got my vaccine, I went to Monroeville.
Vaccines, Monroeville.
Why I went to Monroeville is a discussion for another time. Yeah. But I went, and I'm at the Monroe County Health Department there. And the people working there tell me, you're going to need this card. And I wasn't going to get in an argument or contest it or anything. But, like, you're going to need this to get into ball games. You're going to need this to go pick your kid up at school. You're going to need this. You're going to have to show this card. So take good care of it. That is the furthest thing from the truth. That's not true. That wasn't true at the time at all. It's not true now. So I think just out there, those were agents of the government. They were working for the county, Monroe County, and the state of Alabama. That there's a lot of confusion out there, and I think you need the Attorney General out front on this to make that clear, that no, you don't need that card. You don't need that to go to a ball game. You certainly don't need it to go pick your kid up at school. But you have people that are respected and in positions of authority telling people that. And that's something they got to be very, very careful about. They got to make sure that these folks understand this.
Someone sent me a link earlier, and I guess this is a big earnings report week on Wall Street. And Pfizer, you may have heard of that company. Yesterday, earnings, they said they sold $7.8 billion in COVID shots in the second quarter. And they raised their 2021 sales forecast for the vaccine to $33.5 billion when initially they thought they may pull in $26 billion this year alone from their COVID vaccine. I think a lot of people that don't want the vaccine, part of what they're thinking is, you know, follow the money. Why is it being pushed so hard? I wonder if there's some rule out there. I mean, we've seen instances of insider trading before in government, Congress, Senate. I wonder how much of a financial impact, how many of these people are in on Pfizer or in on Moderna, and if showing the American people they didn't have financial interests in mind here when they're requiring the vaccine, if that would maybe ease some of the fears of people.
Well, isn't that what Jerry Carl wanted to do with regards to Anthony Fauci? It was, at the time, I remember it seemed a little stunning, right? That he says, you know, I want to look Y'all may not know this, but Fauci's doesn't have to disclose his holdings like any other elected official or government employee does.
Right.
And Carl's like, we need to take a look at that. I mean, he said that there's no way of knowing if that's the case with a lot of these bureaucrats. Now, with elected officials, they have different rules. But if you're working for Health and Human Services or you're working for any other place and you're not an elected official and you have this insider information, you could indeed perhaps profit off of this. Or, there's no – the rules that regulate that are much different than, say, if you're a congressman or a senator or even president of the United States. You deal with a different set of rules. So that was the question as to whether or not they could do that. So I think those are valid concerns for people. But I don't know that it's necessarily related to getting the vaccine or not. Maybe that is why they are pushing it. But remember, there are other alternatives to Pfizer as well.
Yeah, and
go ahead.
It will be suspicious if the Pfizer CEO starts buying all of Hunter Biden's art. That's all I'll say.
Scandal tied to scandal.
Yeah.
Last thing, Jeff, just think about it. That we have these health officials now, locally and statewide. Certainly, Fauci's he's the face of nationally. That otherwise would have never been in the news. We would have never known. They suddenly had a lot of power. They had a lot of sway, and we're not even sure who they are from a local and state level until now. They happen to be on TV or on the radio once a week, right?
Right. And that's, they're unelected, and we're warning, I think at the state level at least, that the weird system we have here in Alabama is you have these doctors that appoint a Dr. Scott Harris, but then on the other hand there, Dan, that they also lobby the state for the way laws are written and the way those are handled. Mm. It's very, very, very interesting. Now, we have a guy on, Jim McClendon. He's an outgoing state senator for Talladega County and St. Clair County. He wants to just do away with the whole system and start all over.
I've heard.
So, to make it part of the governor's cabinet. But I just don't know that, will the medical community be willing to let go of that much power? They would fight it. You know how Montgomery works.
Jeff Poore on the stupidity of Montgomery, Alabama, and other things on the way. Jeff, have a great show, okay?
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
You know how dumb Montgomery works.
All right. Hey, Ashley from Loosedale texting in. Her favorite part of the show is when we brought Jeff on. So
she's a fan of the next show. That's good to know. 8:59. Thank you all for listening and calling and texting. Dan and Dalton.